forgot how we start the show. Do I just introduce myself?
Yeah. Wow. Did we do it last week?
We did.
We did do it last week. It's not even like we
missed
it.
We were late, I think, too, so it was more recent than typical.
Yeah. You usually start off with like an energy that's pretty aggressive, like, hey, skanks, it's me, Rachel. So go ahead and just try that.
Hi, this is Rachel McElroy.
Hi, skanks, it's me, Rachel. Hi, it's Griffin McElroy.
And this is wonderful.
This is a show where we talk about things that we like, that we're into, and is good.
The show we're both having a little trouble.
Show is good. Yeah. No, for sure. We are so excited to join you all today and to have you all join us in the studio.
I feel like we're opening a sermon right now.
If you turn your hymnals to 420.
Say hi to your neighbor.
Say hi to your neighbor and shake their hand. And
I haven't been to a lot of services, but I know that's part of it.
It is part of it. That there's a sort of... It was always my least favorite part of attending church.
Touching somebody else's sweaty hand.
Yeah, there was a sort of prescribed touch moment in the program, or it was like, you know, we're going to show up, do a few prayers, sing a song, now touch your neighbor in every direction, in all eight cardinal directions. Anyway, we're so happy to have you here, and let's just get, can we just... cut out the BS.
Whoa.
Can we be serious now? Quote my favorite movie, I've never seen Sully, and do a small wonder, please.
Okay. Peppermint bark.
Okay.
I think that's what I'm going to go with.
I mean, enough said. It is chocolate with peppermint in it.
Uh-huh.
You brought home a big old bag of Ghirardelli beauties.
Yeah.
And you were like, do you like peppermint bark? And I was like, not really. And then I ate some and I was like, wait a minute. Yes.
For me, it's like, it's not just the flavor. It's like the textural piece. Like there are like hunks of candy cane in it.
Yes.
So you're like enjoying this kind of fun, like soft, crunchy experience.
Mm. Yeah.
And it just looks very festive.
It does. I prefer it to a straight up and down candy cane.
Me too.
I don't love... That's a lot of peppermint that you are sort of consigning yourself
to. It feels like from a different era, right? Like,
yes.
It's like, this is before we knew how to make, you know, a lollipop that tasted like watermelon.
Yeah. It's like how you go to a lot of sort of like roadside stops, like gas stations in West Virginia, and they'll just be selling like little sticks of honey, and it's like... It's not 1941 anymore. Like, we have such better snacks now.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Coach Craig Berube, formerly of the St. Louis Blues, released from his contract today.
Why is that a wonder?
It's not good that he got fired, but I will miss this man a whole lot.
Yeah, me too.
Bummer. I would say a bummer time to be a St. Louis Blues fan at the moment. We over the... off season, we lost a lot of our faves, including our announcer, Panger, got traded off to the Chicago Blackhawks.
Yeah, Chicago got a lot of good things out
of
their terrible season.
A lot of great things, including our favorite announcer, Panger. And then we lost Craig Berube, and no one's quite sure what old GM Doug Armstrong's doing up there in the booth, making some questionable decisions.
They do, as of last night, officially have a losing season, and they had lost the last four games in a row.
Yeah.
But nobody really felt like it was the coach's fault, because he is the one that got us a Stanley Cup.
Yeah, not 4 years ago in the grand scheme of things, in pretty much any sport, that's not a long enough time, I think, to go without... I don't know. They didn't make the playoffs last year. The reasoning for it makes no sense to me, but it is a strange occurrence to see something like this happen, where it's just like in the dead of night at 11 o'clock, they just cut his contract. And every single reaction I've read to it has been, what the fuck are they doing? Like, what are they doing?
I know. It's got to be an incredibly unpopular choice.
Yeah.
I don't know how they're going to recover from it.
Yeah, me neither. So it's a bummer day, but I did just want to give a shout out.
Shout out to Berube.
Just a big fucking tough son of a gun.
Yeah. One of those coaches that like his only emotion is like, Stoicism.
Stoicism or disappointment. Like, stoicism is good. Like, if you're getting stoic, he's proud of you.
Yeah. But the time he spends, like, that's why I think we love him so much, is you hear about all these conversations he's having individually with the players.
Yeah.
And the things that he says about them are so, like, you know, we're working on this, and I really believe in that, and I think if he keeps doing this, like, he just seems like a real player's guy.
Yeah. I will say, I started watching Blues hockey in, like, 2016, 2017, which was, you know, they were doing pretty good then, and then they won the Stanley Cup in 2019. I always felt, like, a feeling of bandwagoniness a bit.
Yeah.
Where I start, 'cause they had a long... long time where they did not win the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, which was their entire
legacy.
Run, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I know you and like your dad were just sort of riding out through that. And I always felt a little bit of imposter syndrome being like, did I just come on because this is a good hockey team? But now that things are starting to fall apart, I feel like, okay, this is when I can really prove my loyalty to these beautiful Blues. You go first this week. What have you
I
got?
I do. This week, I wanted to talk about fur that is fake, and that is faux fur.
Faux fur.
Okay. Faux fur. I wanted to say it, that what I was talking about, so that you didn't think I was talking about some kind of weird app that was faux called fur. Faux fur.
Or it sounds like a person. If you would say, like, welcome to the poetry corner, my poet this week is faux fur. Jim Faux fur.
Yeah.
Then I would have been like, okay, cool. Tell me more about Jim Faux fur.
I was thinking about this because we have a gray blanket in our house that is a hot commodity.
Yes. Would you call that faux fur?
Yeah.
Okay.
100%.
Okay.
If you go to this company's website, which I'm not going to name because they're not paying us to talk about them.
Yeah.
That's
blankets.gov.
That's... Have you heard about the new Minister of Blankets, by the way? Oh, my God.
Yeah, scandalous.
These clowns.
Scandalous choice.
It's very soft. It's very cozy.
I love you took this instantly in a direction away from fashion and instead just talk about how a blanket made of fake fur is good.
It's comfy.
Feels good.
Yeah.
Sure.
No, I could say that I don't wear like any kind of fur for some specific reason, but I'm just not generally a flashy dresser.
It's wild. Yeah, it's not something I understand. The fur movement of just wearing it for fashion, I understand people's dislike of that from moral grounds. Mine, if I'm being 100% transparent, is mostly from aesthetic grounds. I think it's fucking wild to walk around in a big furry coat.
I know.
But, you do you, but don't. Like, do it fake, because it's the same.
Much like the candy cane, this is a different era.
Yeah.
I bought the boys' little faux fur winter hats recently, too.
Oh, yeah, you did, yeah.
I know that it's hard to think of that stuff as faux fur because it doesn't really, like, you know, it doesn't look like a rabbit or whatever.
Yeah, sure.
But that, I mean, that is what it is trying to model with its, like, softness and appearance.
Yeah, I get that.
It just, and especially in the wintertime, it just feels like a little nice, cozy choice.
It does, yeah.
Faux fur has come a long way. I was researching what it is, because like if I had to ask you, like, what is it made out of, like, what would you?
Wool, and that's, they sort of make super soft, and hairy.
A lot of it is like acrylic and polyester fibers.
Yeah, that was my next thing. If it wasn't wool, it was probably acrylic and polyester,
which of course is like a like an oil based kind of thing. Like I really learned a lot about kind of where we have come. So in the 60s and 70s, there was kind of a move away from wearing animal fur. And this is where you really kind of saw the rise of faux fur. So faux fur, like anything else that is made from like polyester or acrylics, is not exactly environmentally friendly.
Sure.
So there has been some focus recently that I found pretty fascinating. Before I get to that, I want to talk about specifically the blanket we have downstairs because I looked it up. And it is made from 100% faux chinchilla polyester.
Faux chinchilla polyester.
Yes. Mm-hmm. This company also has other garments, one made from faux Sherpa polyester.
Okay. That That's wild that we can specify the type of polyester animal simulation to that degree of granularity.
Yeah, it's all about kind of like the stitching process, the way the fibers are sewn into the backing, what chemicals are applied to kind of give different textures, and then like whether it's made smoother or shinier with the chemicals like silicones or resins. Like there's a lot that's involved in creating different types of faux fur.
Okay, I understand now.
Yeah. So what I wanted to talk about is this new movement I found about plant-based fur.
Sure. I've touched a furry plant.
Yeah, well, those the little lamb's ear.
Lamb's ear, yeah.
That's a furry plant.
That's what I was thinking of. I couldn't name a second one. I couldn't name that one.
I mean, moss is kind of furry.
Moss. Normalize wearing moss like some sort of hedge wizard. I like that shit a lot. That's the future. That's the next Met Gala, is people just coming out dressed up like fucking Tom Bombadil.
So there is a Paris-based faux fur institute, and they are leading these like competitions, one called Open Fur, which is a contest that challenges designer to develop sustainable fur using vegetable-based and synthetic fibers. This kind of became really big in 2020. Stella McCartney, who's, you know, like this huge designer that most people have heard of.
Sure.
Launched a new material she called Coba, which...
Coba!
Which features 37% plant-based materials, including a polyester blended with corn.
With corn?
With corn.
Okay.
It's like a corn byproduct.
Okay.
A lot of what I've seen in this, what is also called biofur space, it relates to corn. There's corn involved in some way.
Okay.
It's difficult, I think, just for wearability and long-term use to do like a fully like bio-focused fur, but that effort does exist. So a lot of what people are focusing now are like recycled materials. Like
yeah.
how do you reuse plastics and polyesters so that it at least is, you know, doing less damage, yeah. less impact.
I get it. You wear your corn coat out on a hot day.
It just starts popping. Just
starts
popping off.
That's actually, I've just imagined like Fashion Week, a runway show. You know, some America's Next Top Model walks down the runway,
yes.
reaches the end, and then just, what's that? Pop, 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 pop.
So dramatic.
So dramatic, the clothes turn into popcorn.
And then everybody just like scoops a little bit off the runway and eats it?
And eats it. That's huge.
That's huge. That's something, Griffin.
There is something there. That is at the very least like a RuPaul's Drag Race finals yes, transformation yes. moment.
Yes, and more dependable than, say, releasing butterflies.
Oh, come on.
So that's faux fur. It's really interesting to kind of follow. I mean, a lot of it just started with like yarn, you know, like back in the 60s and before. It was just like how do you make a yarn in a weave that looks more like fur? And now we're wearing corn.
Yeah.
That's remarkable.
That is amazing. Mm-hmm. I just love how you're approaching this not from a here's a cool way for me to get my fur fix.
No.
As much as it is just like I love this soft
stuff. I love a soft blanket.
Yeah.
I mean, what I could have done as a topic is just soft blankets, but I don't know what I say about that.
Yeah, no, I know.
So I it seems faux fur seemed to be the best way to go. But I guess ultimately what I am saying is I like a soft blanket.
Okay. All right. You really got down to the heart of the matter. Can I steal you away?
Yes.
We all got needs. And to satisfy those needs, we subscribe to different services to fulfill those needs. Some of them are pretty dang good at it, if I do say so myself. But then you put away your childish things. You say, I don't have a need for a string cheese subscription service.
I keep receiving this huge box of string cheese every month and immediately throwing it away.
Yeah.
Maybe I should not receive this huge box of string cheese every month.
But you forget, don't you? So easily.
I know.
Your many subscriptions you've scattered, like Johnny Appleseed to his apple seeds. Well, Rocket Money is here to help. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. I've used Rocket Money before, and it found, not a joke, maybe six things that I had completely forgotten about. Like, maybe about $50 a month worth of shit that I just completely did not know, nor did I interface with the things that I was subscribing to.
Yeah, it's like that. We got that one app that promised to show us hockey and then almost entirely stopped showing us hockey.
Yep. And Rocket Money was like, you're not watching the hockey anymore. The Blues lost and not in the playoffs. Anyway, Rocket Money is fantastic, and we recommend using it if you think you might have some of those phantom subs. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wonderful. That's rocketmoney.com/wonderful. One last time, rocketmoney.com/wonderful. Folks, I'm recording this ad by myself because Rachel, she did something totally wild. She hopped on her electric e-bike, and she was like, I am out of here. And then she zoomed off. She hit a ramp and flew up in the sky like an E.T. movie, and just went so fast that I was like, dang, where'd my wife even go? And she yelled from over the horizon, on a bike adventure. And so I have to celebrate that. I have to cheer for her on that. This bike that Rachel got from Electric E-Bike, it is one, very sleek and stylish. It looks fast because it is. The battery lasts forever. It shows up at your door, ships for free. It's got a quick toolless assembly, and you can even fold it up for easy travel and storage. It is the perfect time of year to have a sweet little bike for yourself to go on your own bike adventures away from your husband. Anyway, go full throttle into spring with Electric E-Bikes, the number one selling e-bikes in the nation. Get your adventure started at electricebikes.com, and please mention that Wonderful sent you in the post-checkout survey. That's electricebikes.com.
If you're Black, you probably love you some Paramore, huh? Or what about the TV show Golden Girls? Ginger Ale? Daytime television? Don't lie, I know you love at least one of them. I'm Sequoia Holmes, pop culturist and host of Black People Love Paramore. Contrary to the title, it is not a podcast about the band Paramore. Each episode, I, along with a special guest co-host, dissect one pop culture topic that mainstream media doesn't necessarily associate with Black people, but we know we like. Tune in every other Thursday to the podcast that's dedicated to helping Black people feel more seen.
Black People Love Paramore is now on the Maximum Fun Network. Check out the most recent episode featuring Shar Jassel today.
Throughout history, sirens have captured men's attention, enticed men with their feminine wiles, and fulfilled men's primal needs. The sirens' allure persists.
They have not. Unless the primal need is, I need to be smashed on the rocks.
Yeah, smash me.
Smash me, mommy.
Smash me, mama.
Smash me, mommy.
The sirens allure.
Why do we do this to ourselves?
Strand me, baby. Strand
me, baby.
So yeah, listen to my brother and me for Maximum Fun on Mondays. It's just like that. Just like that, but more of it. There's more of that.
You ready?
I think so.
The Mothman.
Oh, have you not talked about
it? Never.
This is something, and I don't know if you're aware of this, but I would say most people in the country are not familiar with the Mothman.
I would say that a lot of people in the country have heard of the Mothman, but do not know about the Mothman.
I was not at all familiar.
You hadn't even heard of the Mothman?
No.
Oh, wow. Okay, maybe this is not as big of a thing. Well, I will also say you don't... Maybe you're not super well versed in the cryptid space.
No, I don't spend a lot of time in that area. Like, I, you know, I've heard of the big ones. I've heard of, for example, Bigfoot, yeah. Loch Ness Monster, like,
Chupacabra, Jersey Devil.
I don't know Jersey Devil.
Okay.
Other than it's a hockey team.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically what, yeah. The Mothman, I love the Mothman. It is a point of pride for literally everyone I grew up with in West Virginia, that we have our own cryptid of some notoriety in the Mothman. And personally speaking, I think the Mothman is one of the cooler, like, cryptids. Sightings have pegged the Mothman as a roughly 7 foot tall humanoid creature with great white wings and big shining red eyes.
Okay. I actually I don't know a lot about what specifically is pegged as Mothman traits.
Yes.
So that's helpful.
It gets a little bit confusing. I'm going to try and provide as cogent of a sort of background on the Mothman mythos, because that is a fucking rad aesthetic, if you ask me. What is surprising is just how sort of insubstantial the origins of the Mothman are. So the Mothman mythos hails from Point Pleasant, West Virginia, which is just up the river from Huntington. And Point Pleasant really revels in its Mothman history. Starting in 2002, they started to host an annual Mothman festival.
Yeah.
That lots of people come to. In 2003, they erected a 12-foot tall metal sculpture of the Mothman, in the
Wild.
Middle of the town. That is pretty fucking sick, if I'm being honest. So this is the history of the Mothman. November 1966, there were a pair of young couples from Point Pleasant, just kind of cruising around, and they were driving past an old World War II munitions plant when they spotted a giant, winged, red-eyed creature, and they got scared, and it chased them off and screeched at them as they drove off, and apparently they drove off and went right to the press, because the very next day, the Point Pleasant Register ran the headline, "Couples see man-sized bird, creature, something." That's a good headline if you ask
me. This is a real stop the presses moment. I picture them bursting into the newsroom and being like, whatever you were going to run tomorrow, throw it away.
Mm-hmm. It's like the newsroom. You get the red AP news alert. Guys, big news coming in from
Breaking.
Point Pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
It did sort of make national headlines a little bit. Not a whole ton. Around this time, the Batman TV show with Adam West was very popular. So that is, as far as people can tell, kind of where Mothman comes from.
Oh, okay.
And not just Big Moth. I'm going to read here from the Wikipedia article that sort of explains the most likely situation that happened here. Wildlife biologist Robert L. Smith at West Virginia University told reporters that descriptions and sightings all fit the sandhill crane, a large American crane almost as tall as a man with a 7-foot wingspan featuring circles of reddish coloring around the eyes.
Wow.
The bird may have wandered out of its migration route and therefore was unrecognized at first because it was not native to this region.
Wow, you don't hear that a lot. I mean, maybe you do. Obviously, I'm not an expert, but Bigfoot, everyone's I don't know. I don't know how that happened.
Well, Bigfoot, you could probably just say there's a lot of, bear or just a big guy.
Big furry guys.
A big furry guy, okay. Right?
But that description of that bird is that's exactly what they said they saw.
I don't like that this bird exists. I'll say that right now. I don't love the fact that I don't love ostrich or a tall flamingo. I don't like or emu. I don't like when a bird is bigger than me.
That seems fair.
That's scary. I think that is sort of a deep, deep in my bones, genetic kind of dinosaur survival. Because, humans and dinosaurs walked the earth at the same time, and that humans were so scared that dinosaurs had to fight them off with a big club. Uh-huh. Eat them like a big steak at a movie theater.
And the side of their car falls over.
The side of their car falls over from how heavy the steak is, yes. So I think that's still in my bones. Uh-huh. When I see a big bird, I'm like, my great-great-great-great-grandpa saw a velociraptor, and Bob's your uncle.
Mm-hmm. That's a great history lesson we just gave there.
Yes. So were things in the Mothman myth, there's some more sightings that come out after that because, is in the newspaper and now more people are seeing the Mothman. Where things kind of take a turn for the bizarre is in the following year, the Silver Bridge, which was this big suspension bridge that connected Point Pleasant and Gallipolis, Ohio, just across the river, collapsed, killing 46 people. It was a huge tragedy.
Wow.
And It resulted in the establishment of the nation's first like national bridge inspection program.
Yeah,
because it is one of sort of the most sort of fatal
and,
accidents.
And thank
like this
God that
history.
Exists.
Yeah, fuck
there's
yeah,
not
man.
A time where I drive over a bridge and I'm not like, this doesn't seem safe. So it makes me feel good to at least think somebody is in charge of that.
Right, and that person is the Mothman. So given the proximity of these two events, you know, big sort of national stories that happened in an otherwise pretty small town of Point Pleasant, West Virginia, they started to kind of be connected, right? The most notable connector of these two events was an author named John Keel, who in 1975 wrote The Mothman Prophecies, which is a pseudo-investigative look into the Mothman and also aliens and also psychic alien telepathy powers, and also prophecies. It is a profoundly wild ride that in 2002 they made a movie out of starring Richard Gere called The Mothman Prophecies. And let me tell you, when this flick came out in West Virginia, it was a big fucking deal.
This is like We Are Marshall all over again.
We Are Marshall was a bigger deal on by several magnitudes.
Yeah.
But when this came out in 2002, This was like everybody.
So you remember this movie. Like
I remember seeing it in theaters. I was 15, 16 years old.
Yeah, I guess yeah, okay.
And it was pretty scary stuff, man. I mean, it features a bridge collapse killing many people at the end of the film. It was scary stuff.
So what is the hypothesis here that the Mothman broke the bridge?
The basic no. So this is important. This is important to
okay, okay.
The Mothman is basically the mythos. As summarized, the Mothman is a herald of tragedy. That Mothman, much like the Silver Surfer approaches planets pre-Galactus, like, hey, straight up, it's about to get bad.
It wasn't like him with big bolt cutters. They thought like he had sabotaged.
No, he's not fucking Dennis the Menace causing National Bridge accident.
You understand, though, how like... That would make more sense to me than the idea that he is a prophecy.
This is what's cooler to me about, and okay. This is what I like about the Mothman mythos, is that he is not some monster going around fucking killing people indiscriminately.
He's foretelling upcoming events.
He is foretelling upcoming events. Okay. So the basic premise of Keel's book is that the Mothman is an alien with psychic powers who arrived in Point Pleasant, has appeared all over the Earth and done these sorts of like foretellings in the past, but granted many people living in Point Pleasant visions of the future.
Early edition
style. There is a similar bit of mythology that gets folded in here of a UFO sighting that happened like 2 weeks before the Mothman hit the scene in a town called Mineral Wells, West Virginia, where this guy just driving his truck down the road encountered a flying saucer, and a human-like entity calling itself Indrid Cold approached this guy and just kind of shot the shit for like 10 minutes. And how these two are associated is somewhat undetermined, right?
Uh-huh.
But given, again, the proximity of these two events, there's people who are like, well, Indrid Cold is the physical manifestation of the Mothman. They're both aliens, et cetera, et cetera. But that is the big distinction, I think, between this and a lot of other cryptids.
Yeah.
Is that the Mothman will hit you up and say like, hey, stay frosty out there. Mm-hmm. Maybe avoid this bridge on this specific date in 1967. And I will catch you on the flip side. That is very cool to
me. That really appeals to me as like a quantum leap enthusiast. That like the Mothman is just going around trying to put right what would potentially eventually go wrong.
Right. And he is also, worth noting, a flying red-eyed giant. Like, there's so much about the aesthetic of the Mothman that I think kicks complete ass. And I love how much Point Pleasant has invested into this story and how much ownership sort of West Virginians feel about this cryptid who, not Bigfoot, not one of the big heavy hitters.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I think if you give the Mothman a chance, then you'll fall deeply in love just as much as I have and feature him in your actual play podcast one day.
Is this an actual play podcast?
No, I mean, the Indrid Cold was a character in Amnesty. The Mothman was a character in Amnesty.
Okay.
So I tried sort of to tie those two together. I just like the Mothman.
Yeah, no, good guy.
Do you want to know what our friends at home are talking about?
Yes.
Colette says, my small wonder is when on rare evenings the moon comes up just looking enormous. I'm talking vast, like several times larger than it usually does. I've never understood why that happens sometimes. What splendor?
I wish I could answer that. I'm sure there's a very clear...
I can answer it.
Okay.
This is an illusion. The moon is the same size. When the moon is full and it does hit your eye like a big pizza pie.
Yeah.
That is amore. It is also an illusion because if the moon is big, if the moon is full and near the horizon, it seems huge. But okay. If it's higher in the sky, your eye doesn't have as many like things to compare it to.
Oh.
That's all it.
Wow. Thank you.
You're welcome. I ruined things for Colette, I worry. But
I mean, it's still pretty.
It's still cool.
Yeah.
It's still cool. I do like that too. I feel like it is something I note 100% of the time. If there's a full moon and we are outside and see the full moon, 100% of the time I'll be like, look at that big, beautiful
moon. I feel like that would really warm the hearts of people in the past who like can't fathom the amount of technology we have.
Yeah.
But to know that people still talk about the moon.
Yeah.
That would be nice to know.
I love moon.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people.
Yeah. Like, look at that sunset. We still talk about the sunset.
Still talk about the sunset.
All the time.
The moon doesn't get as much credit as the sun does.
That you're just opening a whole new topic.
Things I'm into: Mothman, the moon, crystals, maybe. Who knows? We'll talk about it next time. Thank you so much for listening to the show. Please send us your small wonders at wonderfulpodcast@gmail.com. Things have been slowing down there, and that's our own damn fault for not plugging that email.
Just
address.
A few sentences.
Just a couple sentences. 1 to 2 sentences, please, of something that you're into.
Just we'll moon is good. I like it.
Moon is good. Big moon, good. Why? I don't know. I like it, though. thank you to Bowen and Augustus for the use for our theme song, Money Won't Pay. You can find a link to that in the episode description.
Thank you, Maximum Fun.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, of course. Thanks, Maximum Fun, for having us on the network. Go to MaximumFun.org. Check out all the great shows there. And while you have your internet browser open, go to bit.ly/CandleNights2023 and secure a ticket for our streaming spectacular. We have a pre-taped Candle Nights holiday special for you that has so much stuff in it.
You're going to witness a real performance on my part.
You're going to witness some interpretive dance on my wife, Rachel McElroy's part.
Yeah.
That must be seen to be believed.
Yes.
It is amazing. I fell in love all over again.
Oh, thanks.
you can get a ticket. It's just $10, and all proceeds go to an organization in Huntington called Harmony House, which goes to help people experiencing homelessness. It's an incredible organization that we've been working with for a very long time now, and this special is special to us, and we work really hard on it, and it is genuinely touching every year to see how many people come out.
Yeah.
So again, bit.ly/CandleNights2023. It's this Saturday, September. Jesus Christ.
Whoa.
It's this Saturday, December the 16th at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Come watch it. Gavin.
Who's to say Candle Nights can't happen multiple times a year? You know, you guys made the rules. I think it's possible.
It does take a long time to make this.
True.
So I think we say that it can't. But it will be available for video on demand for a couple weeks afterwards, too, if you're not able to make it that Saturday night.
If you're somebody that does things on Saturday night.
Yeah, sure. Like a cool guy. that's it. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back next week. Nick, we will be back next week. Probably the week after that, we will take off.
Yeah.
Our kids will be home, and we're just going to be wilding out playing with all our new toys and stuff. but next week, we'll be back, and we'll talk to you then. And thank you, and have a good week and weekend.
Go look at the moon.
Go look at the moon right now. Well, actually, I don't know. It may be waning.
Later, when you have a chance, look at the moon.
Yeah. When you hear people talking about how big and nice the moon is, take a moment for the moon. Consider the moon, please.
That should be our signature sign-off now.
Consider the moon.
Consider the moon.
I'm not sure what that means.
It doesn't have to mean anything.
It does sometimes, kind of, yeah. We'll be right back.
Maximum Fun,
a worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows,
supported
directly
by you.